Bienvenidos a la Internacional de la Educación.
Hello and welcome to this first episode of Education International's new podcast series, Pedagogies of Possibility, that focuses on how the teacher-led learning circle for formative assessment project has provided the space for educators to come together across its seven different project countries to use their leadership skills to invent innovative pedagogical practice that improves educational outcomes for all students. Martin, since this is our first episode, can you tell us a bit more about the Teacher-Led Learning Circle's formative assessment project?
Sure thing, Iona. Good to have you all here. The Teacher-Led Learning Circles for Formative Assessment project aims to provide teachers with tools and support to identify and establish effective teacher-led formative assessment practices that can be disseminated within and across education unions. The Teacher-Led Learning Circles for Formative Assessment project will operate across classroom, national, and international contexts. The project is being developed in Brazil, Uruguay, Côte d'Ivoire, Ghana, Malaysia, South Korea, and Switzerland. In each country, the project features three learning circles, providing professional development for groups of teachers to support their leadership of student-focused learning projects, including understanding and use of formative assessment practices.
Great. So now that we have that important bit of background, can you tell us a bit more about what we'll be discussing with our guests today?
The guest speakers in the first episode include Robert, lecturer and researcher at the University of Teacher Education, St. Gallen; Monica, teacher and learning circle facilitator in Zurich; Selena, teacher of sixth grade, that's ages 12 to 13 teacher in St. Gallen; and Christine, teacher of third and fourth grade, that's ages 9 to 11 in Lucerne, all in German-speaking Switzerland. They'll be joining me in the next part of the conversation to discuss the importance of engaging in dialogue with students to understand how to best use technology to improve learning outcomes for each student in their distinct classroom context. We will also discuss how the development of these methods of teaching through having dedicated reflective time in learning circles can be understood as a form of pedagogical activism that aims to counter a standardized curriculum that does not create space for the distinct needs of each teacher and learner. Robert, Monica, Selena, and Christine, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
So it's great to be here in Switzerland and to finally meet you. We've been working in this learning circle here in the German-speaking part of Switzerland. We've been doing this project through the LCH, which is our German-speaking union, and we've been looking at formative assessment in the classroom. And we have here two examples. We have Selena and we have Christine, who will talk to us about the way that they are framing formative assessment within the classroom. And Monica, who is the facilitator of the circle, we'll reflect on how that process works, and we will explore some of the issues with a particular focus here on technology that have come up. Robert may also wish to comment as our academic voice, and we'll see how we go as we get into the discussion. So we're going to start with you, Selena. Mm-hmm. We've been talking a little about creativity and technology, and you've been talking about some of the sorts of tools that you use within the classroom. How first do you make those tools creative?
I often think of a project I want to do with the kids. What comes to mind? What do I want to do? What should be the goal? And then I think about how do I get there? How can I implement different objects, different technologies, and then I plan.
Okay, now you've talked about using PowerPoint, you've talked about using stop motion, and you've talked about some of the intricacies of working with different types of technology. PowerPoint's quite interesting because it's been around for a long time. So how do you give that the pizzazz required to get primary schools focused on their learning?
Just the other week, we went to the kindergarten class and we presented picture books. What we did over let's say 2.5 to 3 months, the kids had to scan the pictures, they had to email the pictures, they had to retouch, so take out the text of the pictures, put them into PowerPoint, then read the story and how do you film it, put into a film, PowerPoint film itself, and then we presented the product to the kids in kindergarten. And that's how, or one project, I use PowerPoint. It's just easy because they know how to use it from a different subject. And it was wonderful. The kids loved it.
And does that give them the feeling of control in the way that they communicate with the technology? What do you think the learning aspects are in there?
There were like dozens of learning aspects. They had to use the technology. They had to understand. But they had to think about how does it sound, or how does it get to the kids when I'm done with the project. So there are different aspects from their daily life, as technology, as communication, and so on, in one product together.
Okay, you talked before about the symbiosis between technology and the student. Can you just take me through that a little bit?
So the symbiosis here will be, they have a classical children's book, a picture book. Hopefully their parents read some picture books to them. I often read books in my teaching or in my classes, and that's what they have in their hands. And to make it more accessible for the younger kids that can't read, they use the technology. As you say, PowerPoint was an old tool, but for them it's just a tool they can use, and make the old picture book into something new and something of their own.
Okay, I see what you did there, comparing the PowerPoint to the book. That's a nice manoeuvring tactic in terms of the creativity. And that takes me to you, Christine, who have been using projects that are transdisciplinary and looking at formative assessment using one of my favourites, Bloom's Taxonomy of the Cognitive Domain, which has been a staple tool for teachers for a long time. Can you talk us through how you might wrap technology in, how you might include some aspects of gamification, and how you might think through the questions raised by that interdisciplinary approach?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's similar to Selena, because I try to use hands-on material, but also technology. For example, I have this project at the moment that the kids wished for, because they would like to use Minecraft in the lesson. And I told them, yes, we can do it, but we have to find out how we do it in the different subjects. And then I said, yeah, we could build a house, for example, in Minecraft. And I said, yes, that would be possible. And I connected it in math with building dice houses. How do you call it? So you use these dice over there.
Blocks.
Yeah, and build houses with them and do the plan for it. And in social science, they learned a lot about architecture, how to build a house, what you have to think about. And we try to invite also an architect so that we get people from outside as well. And in German, they should write an instruction how to build the house they built at the end. So, and this is this interdisciplinary aspect. And I use Bloom as well for it. So, because they have to get the knowledge. For example, they have to get the knowledge about architecture. And I teach them a lot about architecture, and I also use plans for it. So the kids can either work through this plan on their own, or they can work through it with me. And if they need more time, because I have some students that are really fast and clever, I have some students that need a lot of help, and then it's not easy to figure out. So everyone can do it in his own pace, also together with me. And for example, then they do the test about architecture if they have the feeling they know everything. So they reached all the objectives, and then they can tell me, okay, I think I'm ready, I know everything, let's do the test. And they do it on Microsoft Forms. And if they reached 60%, And if they are happy with the 60%, they can go on and then really work on the project. And it's the same in all the other subjects. For example, then in German, they have to learn how to write instructions. And if they have the feeling, I'm ready for this, I can do it, they can prove it to me. And if they did it in all of the subjects, they can really work on the creative project.
Okay, and it's interesting that you're also talking about tools which are widely available. So we're not talking about tools that are difficult to find. This is stuff that is available in most computer packages in most schools. So I'm interested in how you then go from knowledge to synthesis, or are you offering that opportunity for students who are already past that stage of bloom? Are you looking at stretch opportunities? How are you working through those questions?
For example, I have a student, he just tells me, I already know all of this, and I tell him, okay, then just do the test, and then you can work on a project. And the projects are really open. For example, he already started with his house in Minecraft, and he's building a really big house with parking spaces and his own gas station. And I leave the project really open so that he can do more than, for example, the others. But he doesn't, for example, he used to get more exercises, but this was boring for him. So this is why I try to leave it really open.
Okay, I'm going to bring you in now, Monica, because Monica, you're facilitating this circle. So you've got two teachers here who are engaged with the learning that they're involved in. How do you go through that process of asking the questions about formative assessment that will help us unravel what the most effective formative approaches are?
So on one point, we have all the material given with the process, and there is a lot of experience inside. And the second is we have a discussion about our different point of views, and we bring this together, and my job is to organize the framework and to give the pace and the room to focus on this formative assessment topic. And what is really interesting, we have here two different ages of Christine, who teaches third and fourth class, which they are 9 to 11, and we have Selina, who is actually teaching sixth class pupils, 12, 13 years old. And we can see that all these technologies, formative assessment, all these tools are helpful in younger and older ages. And yes, so that's my job a bit to point out what is different, what is the same, and to hold the framework.
Okay. And we were in Porto the other week, and we were talking with our Brazilian colleagues about the pedagogy of emancipation. You're doing a pedagogical approach here, which is looking at freeing you to be able to make a leadership choice about what the learning block is in the classroom. Could you just talk to me a little bit more about that first? We'll go the other way around this time. So we'll start with you, Christine, and then we'll come to Selena. So I'm interested in how teacher leadership, you making the decisions mm-hmm. about what learning questions you want to look at, mm-hmm. how that is emancipatory, or how it might free you in terms of being a teacher within a system which has curriculum, which has planned approaches, mm-hmm. which has things that are generally done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for example, in my school, we should work together as a team of teachers. I should work together with all the other teachers of third and fourth grade. But it doesn't work because we have different approaches and different attitudes. So I don't really do it, and I know it's not a good teamwork. But I try to use the students to work together with them, to ask them, what do you want? How do you want to learn it? And they are so much more creative. And for example, working together with this group, it also helps because we have a similar attitude towards mm-hmm. education. Yeah, and this is quite helpful then.
I see that you've all got quite an open questioning approach to mm-hmm. what's going on in the classroom.
Yeah.
So I'm going to come to you now, Selena. If you can just expand on that.
I just take the liberty of doing what I can stand behind and what I think is fun, well, good for the kids, and what I think or what makes me happy. The good thing is I know a lot about technology, and what Monica just said before, we, Christine and I, we have the knowledge more than probably a novice has to include the technology into formative assessment, into just teaching itself. We're quite lucky that we have technology and tools and the gadgets in Switzerland by itself. But then, I know a lot of teachers, they have the gadgets, but they don't have the knowledge. And I think you have to combine the gadgets and the knowledge and the personal interest into furthering the school system, into revolutionizing the school system a bit. And I just take that liberty and try to teach as I see fit.
So, Monica, given that we're interested in taking liberties in learning, because we do believe that learning is a freeing process, how do we then go about distilling the formative practices that we think other teachers can use that are effective?
I think the most difficult thing about formative assessment is it's an attitude. You can every paper sheet you can use as a summative or a formative assessment test, or every tool, whatever it is, what the teacher does with the tool that becomes formative or summative. And what is really important is to think, have the room to reflect on the attitude. If you are looking in a formative way with the formative classes or with the summative classes on what the pupils do, and it's about cooperation. We have one hand, it's a cooperation between the adults in the team, what Christine said before, and the other thing we heard a lot about it in the talk till now is the cooperation between the teacher and the students. And that is also an attitude to have, a situation in a classroom that say we are a team here, and the product of what we are doing together is good future for the students. And it's the attitude of the teacher to organize formative assessment situation where, for example, the self-evaluation of the pupils has a weight. It's not just a paper they fill in and then it's forgotten. It is part of the process. So they take more interest in what they're doing, they're more motivated, and they're more they take over some responsibility on their personal learning process. And I think it's a lot about that, and the program we have, or we followed with the teacher-led learning circle, is also to have these moments where we could stop for a moment, reflect, discuss, and exchange on an adult level, and that is something that happens rarely, normally in the everyday life of teachers. We are busy, we have hundreds of things to do, to react, to decide, but we don't have the moment to go a step back. What am I doing? What do you think of what I'm doing, the discussion, and in the discussion, the development of the personal attitude? So I think it's that is the important thing. To meet, to have time, to reflect, and to recognize the personal freedom we have. because every teacher has the same freedom, but often teachers forget about this freedom, and then they don't use the freedom to develop things that makes everybody happy.
This is our bread and butter at Educational International, is that the freedom of pedagogy and the freedom of professionalism, and we do see in action here a process which is a pedagogical process of possibilities.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'd just like to thank you for opening up the questions you have. I think that the student evaluation and self-evaluation is another podcast altogether, and that you've raised some really interesting questions about the way learning operates within the Swiss system. And I'm sure that there are those in systems all over the German-speaking world, and I should point out this is a German-speaking circle, that will be able to use these tools in a variety of ways. So thank you, all of you.